Morning at today's daf in Baba Basra's Lamed Ches. We start today on the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis. Sorry, Lamed Zion. Thank you. Good correction. We start on the bottom of Lamed Zion Amud Beis. We are towards the last couple of lines. Amr Naradai said over in the name of Naradai. Haiman de Zavin Dikla Lechavre. So if a person sells a tree to his friend, kindly mishfule ad dahoma, so you acquire all the land that's directly underneath the tree. Ad dahoma, you can go basically all the way down to the depths. You're going to acquire everything. So this has been a large topic over here in the course of the third parak of Baba Basra. We're talking about acquisition. We're talking about buying property. We're talking about buying trees. Yesterday we spent a lot of time talking about the purchase of trees. So the Gemara over here talks about how much real estate are you going to get in conjunction with the tree. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Nahardai that you're going to get a lot of real estate. In fact, if you go down and you drop a line down directly below the tree, you're going to be getting down to the bottom, whatever that means. In other words, deep below. The Rashi over here is bothered by a very simple question, and that is there seems to be another Gemara that would indicate that you don't get all that. So in fact, take a look at the last Rashbam in the Amud. The Rashbam writes, Mishipula at Tahoma. So the Rashbam quotes our Gemara. Shulyav Miturgamina Shipulahu Klamar Kol HaKarka Bishule HaElan Dehindus Farsa Karka at Tahom Shul Karka. So you're going to be getting basically the entire landmass that's directly underneath the tree. She'afa Pishadekli Yechidihu. And even though you're getting a singular tree, it doesn't matter. In other words, you're going to get all that property. Vitanan Dafila Beis Einlo Karka Hani Milas Viva Se'ilan. Now, it's true that the Gemara later on is going to teach us that when you buy two trees, you do not get the real estate, but you only get the trees. And certainly, if you're only buying one tree, you don't get the real estate, you only get the trees. So the Rashbam says that's only talking about the perimeter area around the tree. Hu de ein lo klum kamoshi yesh legimel beinehem v'chutz lehem kamal or v'salo aval tachtav de ilan mia islay. Now, the Rashbam says that the only discussion about what real estate you're not going to get is only the perimeter, but directly underneath the tree, so that you are going to get, not only going to get that, but you're going to get that continuously going downward. The cave and the elon leperos of Konali is kaya mikarkazu. Because look, you bought a tree and you obviously bought it for the fruit, but you bought a tree, so the only way the tree can sustain is only with the property underneath it. Gam imyamos ailan yita achir bim kamo. Which means now that you are able to plant another tree and replace this tree if it dies. The only way you could do that is if you own the property directly underneath. Vashmina nami de ain balasadi yacholach por tachas ailan. I feel lamata me. And that also means now that the owner of the property who sold this tree with the property underneath, so he can't dig underneath, and the Rashbam says even 1,000 amas underneath, he can't dig it because all that now belongs to the owner of the tree. Okay, so this is a statement made in the name of Nahadai. Maskif La Rava. We are on the top of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. Rava challenges with the following. Valeimalei Korkamad Derishka Zvinalach. So why can't you make the following argument? And that is, I sold you saffron. And the argument of I sold you saffron is, and take your saffron, Akor Korkamad Derishka Vazil, take your saffron and go. And Rashi over here points out, Rashbam. I'm behind the times, a week behind the times. And the Rashbam over here points out what's the strength of this question. So we are looking at the Rashbam Devar Masko Korkama Derishka. He writes, first of all, what is it? It's krog. It's Orenthal. It's saffron. Okay, that's okay. Urigila Lamachur Bekarka. Now the Rashbam points out, what was the minute? The current. The past minhag in the good old days is that they would sell the saffron, but while it was still connected to the ground. And basically, they would sell while in the ground, and then once it reaches the point of maturity, so then they would detach it, and then they would give it. So, can we make the same argument over here? I sell you a tree, my property. Can we make the argument of, I just sold you the tree, I didn't sell you the property underneath it? I sold you only the rights to the property so that the tree can, while it's currently here, stay in the ground. But I certainly didn't sell you the property underneath. And basically, you can have the tree have by right be in my ground until it dries up. Isn't it the same as karkum when you're selling somebody saffron? And once it dries up, you shouldn't have my property anymore. So basically, Rava wonders, when I'm selling a tree, by by definition, am I selling the property? Not necessarily. And we know that the current minhag, current meaning back in those days, the current minhag was to sell saffron while it was still in the ground. It certainly doesn't mean you're getting the ground. So the Gemara says, so
I think the saffron is like a plant.
Okay, right. Good. So Korkama Derishka Vazil Ella Amarava Beba Machmas Taina. So Rava says that no, if you're just buying a tree, so you're right. In other words, you're just buying a tree and you don't get the property underneath. But what you are claiming now is that you have a taina. Now, as we know, as we've been discussing now since the beginning of the perek, meaning that if you want to make a cheskas kemoshanim, if you want to acquire through occupation, so you need a taina, you need a claim that you purchased it. So over here, the Gemara says that's what's going on over here, that the person who bought the tree also claims that he bought the property as well. So he has a claim, and with the claim, then and only then is he going to get the property. So Amalei Mar Kishisha Breid Rav Chisla Rav Ashi V'Korka Madurishka Zavin Lei My Havel El Meibed. So the Gemara says, now, if you're telling me that the owner of the tree, when he sold the tree, only sold the tree and didn't sell the property, so what is he supposed to do? Meaning, here we go again with basically, and this question was already asked and dealt with before. We're going to basically go through this again in the Gemara, and that is, when you're the owner of a property and you know someone else is going to be occupying your property for some time, in this case, you bought a tree. Tree's going to be around for a long time. So that means that this guy's going to be on your property with his tree that he bought, which is on your property, but he's going to be here for a long time. What's to stop him 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 3 years from now, from saying, hey, I own not only the tree, I own the property as well. You've seen me all this time over here. You haven't said anything to me. So therefore, what's to stop anyone from basically turning this into a cheskas kemoshanim? So my havelel ameva. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara's answer is, and I know we've heard this answer before, but the Gemara is now saying it again, and that is, you know what you need to do? You need to lodge a protest. Meaning, the answer is very simple. It becomes the responsibility of the owner of the property, who knows that there's going to be a person occupying his property for multiple years, to basically lodge a formal protest and say, hey, this person is on my property, but he doesn't own my property. I am the owner of my property. We've heard this point before. Right, you have the Mashkanasa Desura, the lending model, where this business model is that I will lend a person money. He doesn't have money to pay me back, but he does have some property. So basically what I'll do is I'll contract to use this property for the next 10 years and get whatever yield it produces for the next 10 years, and we'll call it a wash. And whatever I get in the next 10 years off that property will be satisfaction of the loan that he owes me. And at the end of 10 years, he won't owe me anything. And basically now I'm occupying his property for the next 10 years. So now, Mashkanasa and the Gemara goes over the contract language with us again. At the end of these years, the land will go out and I won't owe you anything. That's the language of the contract. So he covers Lishtar Mashkanata Vamla Kuchi Biadi. So again, the Gemara is going to make the same point. So let's say now that the lender takes the contract and hides it. And after 10 years, he says, this is my property. How do I know it's my property? It's very simple. I've been here for the last 10 years and it's gone unchallenged and I bought it from you. So why can't he do that outside of the fact that's immoral and it's, you know, and it's lying? But what is going to be the mechanism in which is going to protect the landowner from this happening? So hachinami de mehemen mitaknim rabbanim milsa dasi b'le de pseda. And the Gemara asks incredulously, as it did also before, and the chachamim who instituted mashkanasa desura, meaning that this is a rabbinic institution, this kind of business model, lending model, was instituted and endorsed by the chachamim. And you mean to tell me that they're going to do something that's going to cause a loss to people? Can't be. So Allah, the Gemara says, it must be the answer is Yibayla Limchuye. So that means now that the borrower over here, who is the owner of the property, he has to lodge a formal protest within the first 3 years, saying that the land, in fact, belongs to him. So that to protect himself, so that the lender will not, 10 years from now, say, hey, this land belongs to me. So the Gemara again tells us that it becomes the responsibility of the landowner to lodge a protest. When I sell a tree to somebody, and I know he's going to be on my land for multiple years, so then it becomes my responsibility to lodge a formal protest and say, hey, he's not the owner of the land, I'm the owner of the land, he has rights to my tree, but that's all he has. And once you do that, then you protect yourself, but it becomes the responsibility of the landowner to do that. We're at the Mishnah in the middle of the Amos Shal Sharosus L'Chazaka. There are three lands as it relates to Chazakah. Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to divide Eretz Yisrael into three sections. Now, this Mishnah basically is going to be a continuation of the basic idea that we've been discussing now for a week and a half. And that is the idea that in order to have a Cheskes Gemoshanim, to be on the land for 3 years, and your occupation translating into proof, a raya that you own the land, is based on the following. Number one, you have a taina, you have a claim that you bought the land. Number two, you've been there with witnesses for the last 3 years. And number three, there was no macha, there was no protest. Okay. Now, the fact that there was no protest means that it's basically a concession on the fact of the original owner that he didn't in fact sell the land to you. Because if 3 years comes and goes and you're sitting there eating on the property and he doesn't say anything, so that is a clear indication that it's concession. I concede. I get, obviously, the land went from me over to you. Either I sold it, I gifted it, whatever the case is, but that's a concession. What if the owner of the land, the original owner of the land, never heard that somebody was occupying his land? So is that going to be a concession? The answer is obviously no. In other words, it's only going to be concession when you hear somebody that's occupying your land, but if you didn't know somebody was occupying your land, so therefore your silence is not acquiescence because you simply never heard about it. So what brings us to this? What brings us now to the Mishnah is the idea that in Eretz Yisrael there was not great communication between the three different provinces of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, if your property is in one province and you're in another province, it is going to be assumed that you didn't hear somebody occupy your land, and therefore your silence does not turn into acquiescence. The Mishnah starts off. There are three different provinces as it relates to Chazakah, Yehuda, Ve'evar, Yarden, Ve'agalo. So Yehuda, which is the south, Ve'evar, Yarden is towards the east of the Jordan, Galil is towards the north. So these three sectional portions of Eretz Yisrael are considered to be totally separate states, and as a result of that, we will assume that if your property is in one and you're in the other, you did not hear. So, let's say you were in Yehuda and somebody was occupying your property in Gala, or the opposite. The only way it's going to be a chazaka is if you are together b'medina achas, in one medina. You take a look at the Rashbam over here. The Rashbam on Divrei Maskil Chazaka Chalukah Zumizu LeInyan Cheska Shalashanim Kedem Farsh VaAzal Haya. Sorry, that's the next Rashbam I wanted to look at. Bala Karka BeYehuda VeHechzik BeGalal Shaya Karka BeGalal VeHechzik BaAdam Shalashanim BeLomacha Einu Chazaka Kedem Farsh Tamei BeGemar Destam Yehuda VeGalal Kishas Kam Dami. The Gemara later on will tell us that there was just simply such a tension that existed between Yehuda and Galil. Now, again, the Mishnah was written after Churban Beis HaMikdash, so, and historically we're in the beginning of the Roman Empire, but I don't know enough history to explain to you historically why there was such an impasse between Yehuda and Galil. But, obviously, the Mishnah is teaching us that there was, and therefore there was no communication existing between the two. She'in shayers mitzuyiz mizulazu, v'lo havya machas balakarka macha, sha're ein mi shiyagir lo la machzik shemichazeh v'yizahir b'shtaro. Because now, if you're occupying a land, and now you didn't hear anything. You didn't hear about the owner protesting. So from your perspective now, oh, okay, fine. So it must be that I'm good. I'm in the clear. I don't have to hold on my contract longer. So all this will not serve to you as a kinyan cheskes gemoshanim simply because the owner never actually heard about it. And so you see, from the perspective of the original owner, he didn't have an opportunity to protest because he never heard somebody occupied his property. Meaning communication over here has to go really in two directions. It has to go from the fact that there's somebody occupying the land, so now the original owner, who let's assume he is the only owner, but the original owner now, who's in a different state, didn't hear that somebody's occupying his land, so he doesn't even know to protest, and also the communication in the other direction. Meaning, even if he heard about it, the fact, that starting point doesn't exist, but even if he did heard about it and he were to protest, that communication is not going to go back to the person who's occupying. So therefore, because there's such an impasse, because there is no communication that exists between these two provinces of Eretz Yisrael, so therefore, the undisputed occupation is not going to be significant. Well, the protest itself we're going to be talking about at length today. It'll be the main topic of discussion. So stay tuned. It's coming up. Okay, back to the Mishnah. So hichzik be hichzik. I'm sorry, I read this already. Hichzik be galal. Hichzik be Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah then presents to us another opinion. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which is Lo Amar Lo Shalshanim Ela Kedeshehei BeAspamya VeYachzik Shana Yelchu VeYodiu Shana VeYavi LeShana Acheres. So, Rabbi Yehuda says, do you know why they said Cheskes Gimel Shanim? It's for the following circumstance. Let's say that the owner of the property was in Spain. Okay. Back in the good old days, Spain was as far out as you would go, at least to the west. So, yeah, you were just there. So the Ela Kadeshi Hebas Bama Viachzik Shana. Now, what's going to happen is that you are going to occupy the property for a year. Yelchu v'yodiu shana. It takes a year. It's rather remarkable. It takes a year to get to Spain to inform the person that somebody's occupying his property. V'yavu l'shana acheres, and then the information going in the other direction is also going to take a year as well. And that, says Rav Yehuda, is the reason behind Cheskas Gimel Shana. Now, this is obviously different than what we've been saying up until this point in time. We've been talking about Cheskes Gimel Shanim due to the fact that the Gemara said in the very beginning, all the way back on Chaf Tesamad Aleph, that it has to do with the fact that people do not hold their documentation for any longer than three years of time. And therefore, when somebody comes at you 5 years from now and says, hey, I'm the owner of the land, and you have no proof, well, they have no proof because I wasn't expected to hold my documentation that long. What Rav Yehuda is doing now is he's working with the same number three, but for a totally different reason. It has to do with the amount of time that it takes for information to travel from one place to another. And specifically, the most far-reaching place, and that is from Eretz Yisrael to Spain. And that's why you need Cheskes Gimel Shanim. Now, but of course, with this totally different reason that's given by Rav Yehuda, obviously, it would seem that, according to Rav Yehuda, if you were not in Spain, and you were somewhere within proximity of the land, so then occupation can equal acquisition in significantly less time than 3 years, presumably. The Rashbam writes, I'm Rav Yehuda Lomar, Lo Shal Shanim, Lachbog Bav Lomar, De'enam Chaluk meaning Rav Yehuda totally argues with the Tanakam of our Mishnah. The Tanakam of our Mishnah talks about being just simply one region over and already you don't have a chazaka. And Rav Yehuda is basically saying, no, you can be a half a world away, I mean back then, a whole world away, and it's not going to be a chazaka. I'm sorry, it would be a chazaka. Sharei lekach erichu shnei chazakas mamruba shoshal shanim kidei shir she'im haya bas bamya v'im yachzik ba bekarka shalosh shana v'toch shana rishona yetza kol yelch b'shana shniya v'yodiyu lebal hakarka u'l'shana shlishis yavo v'yimcha. So basically the reason why they gave the 3 years is because they allowed for time. This would be the maximum number amount of time necessary to inform the owner, hey, somebody's occupying your land. And the Gemara later on is going to be discussing that according to Rav Yehuda, does the protest have to be lodged directly in front of him or not? And generally speaking, why? What if you're further away? Meaning, I called Spain the end of the earth. Meaning, the Rashbam says that's not even the point. Meaning, even if there was a place that you can go further than Spain, people do not travel more than a year's away from their home. So we will therefore assume that this is really the maximum. A year of occupation, and by the way, when we say year, I'm not saying I know this to be so, but probably means like a harvest of occupation, then a year of travel there, a year of travel back. So that's three. Ulafi hahu tiknu, and it's as a result of this that they instituted this Cheskes Gimel Shanim. So basically, the way the Rashbam sets it up is that Rav Yehuda is really arguing with the Tanakhama on principle, meaning how is it that you acquire? So according to the Tanakhama, and really up until this point in time, what we've been assuming is that it's based on the fact that you don't hold on to your documentation for more than 3 years. Now, according to Rav Yehuda, no, that's not it at all. It has nothing to do with your holding of your documentation and your maintaining it. It has to do with the fact of how long the communication is going to get from point A to point B. And just finishing up this Rashbam. According to Rav Yehuda, this has nothing to do with holding your documentation. And the Rashbam says, according to Rav Yehuda, let's say you're right there in town, and somebody's sitting on your property and enjoying your property, and you're silent. So according to Rav Yehuda, that immediate silence is going to turn to an acquiescence that he now owns your land. Okay. The Gemara starts off the discussion. The Gemara says, let's focus right now on the position of the Tanakhama, where if you are in Yehuda and your land, which is in the Gullah, is being occupied. So the Mishnah taught us, according to the Tanakhama, that is not considered a chazaka. So my kasev Tanakhama, ikasev amachal shlo b'fanav havichamacha afilu Yehuda v'galil nami. So the Gemara says, now with the protest, does it have to be lodged directly to the face, directly to the owner of the property? Well, if that's true, so I'm sorry. We're starting the other direction. If we're assuming that the macha does not have to be done directly to the person who owns the property, so then what difference does it make it for in two different areas? And if the protest that's not done directly to the person is not considered a protest, or let me just flip that into the positive. If you have to protest directly to the person, well, even if you're in the same provincial area, but if you're not face to face directly with the owner of the property, so your protest doesn't mean anything. So Amr Rabbi Abba Bar Mama Amr Rav La'olam Kesav Ha'Macha Shlo B'Fanav Ha'Macha. So the Gemara says that we are going to assume that if you protest, and even if you're not protesting directly to the person himself, we will generally assume that your protest will find its way to the person who is occupying, and therefore it forces him to hold on to the documentation for a much longer period of time. And as far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah is talking about Shas Chayrim, basically a state of emergency. In other words, that what our Mishnah is teaching us is that generally speaking, as long as there's communication lines open between one area and another area, and if I make a declaration over here, I can safely assume that the word is going to spread and get to whoever is sitting on my land right now. That is considered a formal protest. That's considered a macha. We are discussing, our Mishnah is discussing where it's basically a state of emergency. There is no communication between Yehuda and Galo. And as a result of that, two things, again, going back to the point of the Rashbam. A, I didn't hear that somebody occupied my land. And B, even if I did, if I lodge a protest, he's not going to hear that I protested. So the Gemara says, really, so b'shas chayim shano, ma'ishna Yehuda v'galo denakit. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, why is the Mishnah talking about Yehuda v'galo? That's not really the critical component to all this. The critical component is that there is simply an embargo, if you will. In other words, there's just simply no line of transit, caravans, communication between one area and another, and it really is not a function of Yehuda and Gala. It has to do with the fact that there just simply is no communication. So Hakamasman, the Gemara says, well, maybe that's also part of what the Mishnah is teaching us. That Yehuda and Galo are in such a constant tension with one another. And again, I don't have the historical knowledge to explain why that's so. But there was such a constant tension that existed between the two that we can always assume that they're going to be in a Shas Chayrim. And as a result of that, there is simply no communication existing between the two. Now, no communication existing between the two. Let's take a look together at the top tosos on the Amud. Lamed Ches Amud Beis, top tosos. Stam Yehuda v'Galo kishas chayim dami. V'im tomar, u'mayishna degabe get amar b'resh gittin. Now, everyone remember the beginning of Masechta Gittin, where there we discussed that when you shuttle a get from one location to another, so let's say you're going from outside Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, so the get's going to be valid, but only under the condition that you say, Befanei Nechtav, Ubefanei Nechtam. That the get was signed in front of me, written in front of me, and it was signed in front of me. And without those magic words, without those four magical words, they're not magic, the get's not going to be a valid get. Now, why should that be? So the Gemara has a discussion at the beginning of Masechta Gittin exactly why you need to say it. Either because we're worried that the get was not written Lishma, we're not going to be able to get witnesses I'm sorry, I just forgot the English language. You'll forgive me. But you're right, to authenticate the signatures. Thank you. Okay, now, what is bothering Tosus is the following. Now, if you're going intra Eretz Yisrael, not from outside Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, but as long as you're within Eretz Yisrael, so therefore, we are going to safely assume that people are going to go back and forth and people are going to know, and it will not be a problem authenticating the get. Mishum kevin de'ika ole regalim mishchach shichi lekaimo. So, and why? Why is there constant travel in Eretz Yisrael? Because Lila Rego. Three times a year, we are obligated to go up to Yerushalayim, and therefore there's always going to be traffic and transit in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore there's always going to be communication. Ve'afilu bezman she'ein beis hamikdash and the Tosfos makes a very interesting point. Even without the Beis HaMikdash, there's still going to be a lot of transit within Eretz Yisrael. And so therefore, this question over here is really simple. Our Gemara says that for the purposes of Macha, we're going to assume that Galil and Yehuda are two totally separate provinces with no caravan and no transport and transit between the two. And meanwhile, the Mishnah in Gittin and the Gemara in Gittin seems to indicate that no, there is going to be communication within Eretz Yisrael. Okay, V'yesh Lamar. So it's a very strong question. Tosfos gives a couple of suggestions. So Tosfos gives one answer, and that is the following. When it comes to a woman and her interest in getting remarried again, so look, in other words, she's motivated. In other words, she's received a get. There are signatures on the get. She needs now to have the signatures notarized. Right, Kiyum Hashtar. So she'll be motivated, and she will. There is enough communication and caravan and transportation where she will, and she's motivated, where she's going to seek out the people who signed on the document within Eretz Yisrael. Masha Einkein, however, when it comes to somebody who's occupying a land, he's not going to be looking for the original owner. In fact, you can make the other argument, which is he's going to be avoiding the original owner. But certainly he's not motivated to find the person. So therefore, Tosus' first answer is that with the help of a little bit of motivation, and the woman is motivated, so therefore, she'll find the means in which to be Mekayim the Shtar. Mashenkin, that's not true with the occupier. That is one suggestion of Tosfos. later on, Tosfos gives another suggestion as well. But it's just an interesting comparison between the halachas of the Fanenechtam in Gittin and our Gemara over here regarding Macha. Back to our Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amarav. Ein Machzikim Benichse Boreach. So let's say somebody's on the run, okay? And we're going to be discussing why a little bit later on, this morning. But he's running away, and now while he's running away, so somebody takes advantage of the opportunity. And I'm not endorsing. This is not me signing off on this. Obviously, it's disingenuous and illegal. But somebody takes advantage of the opportunity and starts occupying his land while he's away. So, the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav, and specifically Rav Yehuda quoting Rav, you'll see that's significant. So, ein machzikim benichse borech. So, as long as he's on the run, nobody's going to have the right to sit on his property and claim that they acquired it after 3 years of uncontested occupation. So now when I said in front of Shmuel, now, as the Rashbam over here reports, and we've gone over this a number of times, Rav Yehuda had two Rebbeim in his lifetime. He first learned by Rav. Rav then passed away, and then he learned by Shmuel. So very often, here's a good example, we're going to find that Rav Yehuda says over halacha in the name of Rav, then as he moved from Surah to Narada, he moved from Rav over to Shmuel. So now he's learning by Shmuel, and he says over the members of Rav in front of Shmuel, and Shmuel sometimes agrees, sometimes doesn't agree. In this particular occasion, does not agree. Amar li v'chi limchos b'fanav utzarech. So Shmuel just wonders, I don't understand. Why is it that that this won't create a chazakah? I mean, just because he's running away, where is he right now? Let's assume he's somewhere within earshot. And as we've already established, you don't have to protest directly in front of the person. The only reason why in our Mishnah, and as we just learned on the Amud Aleph of today's Daf, if we assume no communication is because there are two different provinces, and Shas Cheirum, and there's simply no communication between the two. But outside of that, we will assume that if you're occupying, word is going to get back to the owner. And when the owner hears, he's going to lodge a protest. So just because he right now currently is running away, so what? Shmuel says, I don't understand. Let's assume communication is going to get to him. And let's assume that if he, in fact, wants to protest, he will do so. V'rav my kamash malan. And the Gemara says, and now let's turn our attention back to Rav. Meaning Shmuel's making a very good point. Machash l'bafanav lo havi macha, v'amar Rav machash l'bafanav havi macha. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Didn't Rav himself say that a macha, shelo b'fanav is considered a macha? So why wouldn't it work just because the owner happens to be on the run? So the Gemara says, Rav, Taina Tatana Didan, Kamafarish, Velelo Svirale. So the Gemara makes the following suggestion, and that is as follows. Look, Rav was explaining our Mishnah, but that doesn't mean he agreed with our Mishnah. Meaning, Rav was explaining, what's the reason behind the Tana Kama? Why is it that our Mishnah is described, according to the Tana Kama, describing where if you're in Yehuda and the land, and your land is in Galo and someone's occupying, it doesn't work. So Rav says, oh, that's because Shas Cheirim. But under normal circumstances, there's communication. And in other words, if you're in the same province, we'll assume that it's communication, and therefore the protest doesn't have to be directly in front of him. That was Rav explaining the Tana Kama. But that doesn't mean he agrees with the Tana Kama. And what the Gemara now is arguing is that, okay, and if that's true, so once he's on the run, and once you don't have a face-to-face confrontation with him, it's not going to be considered a chazakah. Ikadamri. The Gemara has a second version of the same discussion. Okay, now in the second version, our starting point is going to be the exact opposite. You can create a chazaka when the owner happens to be borech, he's on the run. So the Gemara says, Kiamri se kama dishmol, and again. Now this story is going to have the same basic plot line, where now Rav Yehuda goes over it and learns by Shmuel and says it over in front of Shmuel. Amar li pshita. Now Shmuel's reaction over here, obviously the starting point was, is that you can create a chazaka even while the owner's on the run, and Shmuel says, well, isn't that obvious? V'chi limchos b'fanav hutzarich, and Shmuel just wonders incredulously, meaning you don't have to make a protest in front of him, even if the protest is not done directly to the person. That's still considered a protest, because again, we're going to assume that information is going to travel. V'rav my kamash malam mechash lo b'fanav havi mecha. So the Gemara says, now, as far as Rav is concerned, what is he coming to teach us? That if the owner's on the run, well, that's okay. Meaning, you, the occupier, can acquire the land, because we're going to assume information is going to get from point A to point B. The Gemara says, v'ha amar Rav, chadazimna. Now the Gemara says, now it happens to be that Rav already taught us this halacha. Basically, now the Gemara is just simply bothered by the fact that Rav seems to be teaching us the same halacha from two different points, and why the redundancy? Ela kamash malan dafila micha b'fnei beis shein yichon lomar lo havya macha. The Amar Rav anan ledidim efar shleminei demar Shmuel micha b'fnei shnei b'nei adam shiachon lomar lo. I'm sorry, shiachon lomar lo havya macha. If you say it in front of two people who can then pass the information on, that is going to be considered a protest. But if you say it in front of two people who cannot pass the information on, that's not going to be considered a macha. Rashi points out, sorry, again, not Rashi, Rashman points out, so the Rashbam is towards the bottom of the Amud, whereas the lines are starting to get very wide. Afilu micha b'fnei beis she'ein yichon lomar lo, kigon chigrin o shahochon l'medinas hayam, umarchikim me'oso hamachus shedarbo hamachzik. So let's say you're telling two people who simply don't either have the capacity to walk, meaning they're chiger, or the Rashbam points out, they're just heading in the opposite direction, meaning they're not heading back to your home, they're going in the opposite direction. So, hachi machzikin b'nechzei barech, detehani lemacha ki hach, v'afagav dehanach lo yomer lo hamachzik, before I keep reading on the Rashbam. So right now we have Rav is being quoted as, it depends who you tell. If you tell people who can walk and are walking back in the direction of your home, so that's going to be considered macha. If you're telling people who can't walk or are heading in the opposite direction, that's not going to be considered a macha. To which the Gemara says, that was all said in the name of Rav Hanan, who said it in the name of Mar Shmuel. V'Rav, now as far as Rav is concerned, Rav disagrees. Rav says, irrespective of who you tell, whether they are ambulatory or not, whether they're heading in the direction of home or not, Rav is of the opinion that we can always assume that once you lodge a formal protest, that protest is going to make its way back to the person who's occupying your property. V'Rav, chavrcha chavr islay, v'chavr de chavrcha chavr islay. As far as Rav is concerned, we've heard this line a number of times in our perek. We're going to hear it again today, we're going to hear it again tomorrow, and that is as follows. Word gets around. Meaning, once you've told two people, so now we can safely assume that those two people will tell their friends, and their friends will tell their friends, and so forth and so on, and word spreads and word's going to communicate. And so therefore, from Rob's perspective, it doesn't matter who you tell, whether they're ambulatory or not, whether they're walking in the direction of your hometown or not. Under all circumstances, Rav says, once you lodge a protest, that is considered a macha, and therefore that will force whoever's occupying your land to hold on to a shtar for even longer than 3 years. To which, if he doesn't, he doesn't acquire the land. Yeah, right. You need to. That's it. You need to tell two people. Amar Rav Hilchasa ein machzikim b'nechzei baruch. So Rava says, here's the halacha. So we've discussed now since the top of this amud. What if you are protesting while the owner is sorry? What if you're occupying the land while the owner is on the run? So we started off with two versions of Rav, whether that is considered a Cheskes Kemoshanim or it's not considered a Cheskes Kemoshanim. Version number one has it that it's not. Version number two has it that it is. Shmuel's response both times is, of course it creates a Cheskes Kemoshanim, because the Mechah does not need to be directly in front of the person. And then the Gemara points out that we have traditions of Rav saying that the Mechah does not need to be done in front of the person directly. We'll assume word gets around. And then the Gemara quotes now Rava, who's a couple generations later in terms of Mamarayim, and he comes up with the following ruling. Hilchasa, ein machzikim b'nechzei barech, one cannot create a chazaka when the owner's on the run. However, the protest that's not done directly in front of the owner is considered a protest. So basically now, as you process these two statements of Rava, they're obviously in contradiction to one another. Because once you assume that word gets around, which is the second statement of Rava, so then what difference should it make whether or not the owner of the land is on the run or is not on the run? Meaning, we'll assume word gets around. So the Gemara says, Tarte? So the Gemara says, how can these two statements coexist? So the Gemara says, Lo kasha. The Gemara says, no, they can. Kan barech machmas mamon, kan barech machmas maradin. The Rashbam explains. Kan barech, we're towards the bottom of the Rashbam. Kan barech machmas maradin. Machmas resichas nafashos. Let's say he's running away as a result of death, meaning he's accused of killing somebody. Yare limchos. So at this point in time now, he's running away. Not only is he running away, he's hiding. Meaning right now, he's trying to lay low. Hopefully this will pass. So pen yodea makam te tchunaso v'yirdav gohadam acharav. In other words, right now he's accused of killing somebody, and he's trying so desperately to be undiscovered. not discovered, and so therefore it's not fair to assume now that if somebody's occupying his land and he hears about it, well, he's going to lodge a protest. Once he lodges a protest, so then word is going to get around in terms of his whereabouts. He does not want that right now. So because what's going to happen is he'll have a goal, Adam is going to be after him. And under those circumstances, says the Rashbam, an explanation of Rava, so then it's not going to be considered a chazaka when somebody's occupying his land, because we cannot expect the original owner to lodge a formal protest. However, if he's running away just simply as a result of money, that's not a big deal. So in other words, over there, no one's going to come after him, no one's going to kill him, he's just simply whatever he's ducking, taxes, right? Some lenders, whatever the case is. But it's not he's not hiding. He's just, you know, he just can't be here right now. So under those circumstances, if somebody takes advantage and occupies his land, so and he doesn't protest, that would be considered a king in cheskas kemel shanim. All that's true, but we're talking about somebody acquiring his property, meaning that just because now he fled the premises and his land now is exposed, if somebody sits there on his property, are they going to acquire it? Rava says yes. In other words, because if the only reason why he ran away for his money, so therefore word got to him that somebody is on his property and it was his responsibility to lodge a formal protest. Okay, let's quickly recap for today. Today we finished off the Gemara's discussion regarding the sale of trees. We had a statement by Narada that when you sell a tree, you get all the property underneath. The Rashbam points out, not the surrounding property, but in other words, the property directly underneath. If you sell a tree to somebody and you didn't sell the property, so how can you assure that as he comes onto your property year after year, that he's not going to eventually claim that, hey, not only I bought the tree, but I bought the property as well? And the answer is, as we've answered already a couple of times, the Gemara is emphasizing this point numerous times, it's the responsibility of the owner. If you know that somebody's going to be on your property for multiple years, it's the owner's responsibility to lodge a formal protest. The Gemara uses the same example of Mashkanasa Desura already a couple of times. Gemara in today's Daf does so well. You know somebody's going to be on your property for multiple years, your responsibility to lodge a protest. The Mishnah introduces us to the idea that if you are in a different province and there's no communication between the provinces, so you cannot acquire somebody's property because word didn't get to him that you're occupying, and word doesn't come back from him to you that he is protesting. And therefore, a chazaka is not created if you are in different locations where there's no communication. Rav Yehuda has a fundamental disagreement with the Tanakhama regarding what is considered the reason behind Cheskes Gimel Shanim. It has nothing to do with, as the Rashbam's explanation, it has nothing to do with holding your documents for 3 years, but the maximum amount of time that it would take for a person to get word that somebody is on his property and send word back that he does not like that and he's protesting it. And so if somebody's in Spain, so it takes a year travel there, it takes a year travel back, so therefore that's the result of why it is that there's Cheskes Gimel Shanim. The Rashbam points out, according to Rav Yehuda, if you're right there and somebody's on your property and you don't protest, that creates an immediate acquisition. We'll talk more about Shitas Rav Yehuda in tomorrow's Daf. And then the Gemara discussed the requirement of a machad. Does it have to be directly to the person occupying, or can it be done shalom b'fanav? The Gemara's response is, effectively, it generally does not need to be done shalom b'fanav. It does not need to be done. The Gemara gives us the rule, which we've heard a number of times. Word gets around. Chavrcha dechavr islay. You have friends, they have friends. Word's going to get around. And only in the Mishnah's example where shas cherem, or the other example that we learned today, if it's Barech Machmas Mardus, somebody's after you, somebody's trying to kill you, and you're running away. Right. So under those circumstances where you are either incommunicado or desperately trying to be undiscovered, under those circumstances, then the Machah is not going to work. But under normal circumstances, we'll assume that word will travel back and forth.